I had an experience yesterday morning where one of the songs of my early adulthood abruptly appeared in my head. I don't know what is happening in memory when it functions that way, when some neural bookkeeper decides to go into a recess and open a dusty file cabinet. But I do know that yesterday morning I was abruptly hearing REM's 1992 hit, Everybody Hurts. Everybody Hurts is an unusual song within the REM canon for a couple of reasons. First, because the lyrics are really very straightforward in nature, and second, because the lyrics are entirely intelligible. Michael Stipe, the lead singer of REM, kind of built his career both around enigmatic lyrics, but also around really poor diction. So often it was entirely unclear what he was saying, and he fessed up in an interview I saw with him one time that in some cases there weren't words at all, that he was sort of mumbling syllables along with the music. Maybe Everybody Hurts was in my head yesterday because 25 years after it came out, it occurred to me that this might be a song for the Triduum. It might be a song for this service that lasts over 3 days, that begins on Thursday and extends over Good Friday and concludes today. Today, as we proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen. It is, as I said, this beautifully simple song. That might have been the reason that it became a big hit. Everybody hurts. Take comfort in your friends. Everybody hurts. You're not alone. That's kind of a Triduum song. Because what are these 3 days about, except proclaiming that there is this shared suffering, this shared hurt, and that it is something that we share with friends, that we are not alone in it. It is something that we encounter together and struggle with together. And the Triduum proclaims this hard and beautiful truth through the use of symbols. I don't think there's a stretch anywhere in the church year where the symbols are coming quite as fast as they do come in these 3 days. All of the symbols that we encounter in the Triduum are in some way about touch. On Monday, Thursday, we encounter touch through the washing of one another's feet. Here is this last festive meal with Jesus and his friends, this last conversation, and we then embody his command to love and serve one another as he has loved and served us by washing one another's feet. Every now and again, someone will say to me, will point out to me that this practice of washing feet is kind of awkward or goofy or icky, to which I can only respond, yes. Yes, that's what it is. There is something intensely mutually vulnerable about permitting your feet to be washed and then washing someone else's feet. There isn't a mutual independence or interdependence in that. And if the aching, beautiful intensity of foot washing isn't enough, Maundy Thursday then keeps going with the removal of the sacrament to the high altar, to the garden, followed by the stripping and the washing of the altar. I get to touch the altar. I have the privilege of touching the altar on your behalf. This year, as I stripped and washed and then dried it, I was startled to find myself transported. As I touched the wood of the altar, I abruptly found myself touching my father-in-law's coffin as it laid in the church. I was suddenly standing there with his body at his funeral service. The day after, on Good Friday, we all lay our hands again on wood. This is the wood of the cross. And somehow this simple gesture of reverence and adoration and longing just contains all of the pain and all of the beauty of this life. We're hurting together in that moment. And then there's today, the Easter Vigil. Scholars tell us that in Origen, the Easter Vigil was a big journey. So when the early church first came together, the vigil extended over hours and hours, moving from location to location, every location getting nearer to Jerusalem. And we echoed that a little bit tonight, starting out into the courtyard. My manuscript for this sermon says, gathering around the warmth of the fire. That feels like a bit of a stretch in this year. There was some flames out there. We lit the candles, and so we have this experience of touch with the warmth coming off the candles. We have the experience in some way of touching the dark in the parish hall. Broderick Greer tweeted this morning, he's an Episcopal priest, and he tweeted that this service is like faith itself. It's like ambiguous and badly lit. I love that line. And then we walked. So now there's this touch with the sacred earth itself, touching the ground that we walk on and into this space where it is now Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. There'll be one more sacrament, one more moment of touch, the Eucharist. While we celebrate the Eucharist more often than we engage in the washing of feet, we do the Eucharist every Sunday. In some respects, the Eucharist is just as awkward and goofy and icky as the washing of feet. We're just a little more used to it. Here we come to the table hungry to gather and to share in this bread. Here we come in this marvelously childlike gesture, feed me. What could be more vulnerable, more full of longing than that? What could be more wondrous than the promise that in bread and in wine we touch Jesus, and we are touched by Jesus? One of the difficult privileges of my job is getting to hang out with people in times of grief and loss. What I've come to learn is that grief is something that all of us are carrying. Sometimes we think that we are bearing our woundedness alone. I think that's because we are a culture that tells us to hide away our hurt, and often we're good enough at hiding the hurt that we can look at other people doing that hiding and say, well, I am hurting, but no one else is. But what I've learned is that when you hang out with at least one other person, sometimes more, and there's a safe space created where you can tell the truth and hear the truth, you find out that everybody does indeed hurt. Everyone has stories of suffering to share. Here is the story of the diagnosis from the doctor, the advice that there is no more treatment available to you. Here are the cruel words that even if, the adage says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. The words that do hurt. Here is a marriage ravaged by addiction or infidelity, ravaged by promises abandoned. Here's loneliness and longing. Here's an inexplicable suicide. Here's the loss of a job, and not just the income that is lost, but the identity and meaning that was tied up in that job. Here's the story of the phone call that changes everything, the searching, the hurt. The promise of these 3 days, the promise of faith, is that this hurt is universal, that is something that we share. We share this hurt with community, and we share it with God as well. The promise of these 3 nights, the promise of faith, is that we reach out our hand and we touch love. We are touched by love in return. The promise of these 3 nights, the promise of faith, is that everybody hurts, but you are not alone.